We can get started. Are we recording, Ken?
Yeah, I restarted it.
Okay. Call the meeting to order at 6 p.m. August 21st, 2021, monthly board meeting for the Odyssey Board of Directors. First start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So standard order of business, approval of the previous minutes. Ken sent those out the other day. Did everyone have a chance to review them? Any comments on those? So we have two sets of minutes to approve, one for the 15th of September and one for the 29th of September. So why don't we do working on the 15th of September first. Any comments on that one? Corrections, edits? Any comments or corrections for the minutes for the 29th of September? Okay. Barring any editorial administrative adjustments that we might need to make, does anyone have a motion to approve the minutes for the 15th and the 29th?
I motion to approve the minutes for September 15th and September 29th.
I'll second.
And Helen seconded.
Aye.
Thanks. The motion carries.
We also have minutes for July 14th.
Saw that. I thought that was an old one, but yes, we'll go and I thought we had done those already. Take a look at those as well, too. Any questions for the July 14th minutes? We have a motion to approve the July 14th minutes.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second?
I'll second. This is Erin.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you all. Next up is the head of school report. Mr. Pappas, do you have any updates to us for that?
Yes. Let's get started. I am muted.
No, you shouldn't unmute. Just use the mic. Okay.
All right, here we go. Let me begin by sharing the screen. Lots of things to share for today. We'll start with our COVID updates.
Move it a little closer.
I can move this one. Is that better? So we'll begin with our COVID updates. Lower school, intermediate school, middle school, and high school. Overall, total campus levels of positive cases at the beginning of the year have been 59. 25 cases on campus. From our testing systems, 19 of the 25 were confirmed through PCR, which is consistent with the kind of data that we've been getting throughout. I do want to share something with everyone that we have recently started, and this is the dashboard. I think it's important for us to look at the dashboard and reflect on it. So looking at the dashboard data from the beginning of the year, as you can see in our first data count from the last board meeting, we had a total of 67 campus cases of COVID, 27 of which came from our Quidel rapid testing and 20 that were confirmed on PCR. And for this week, as of the week of 10-14 over here, we are down to 8 total, 2 positive cases through Quidel, 1 confirmed, 1 pending. So this would indicate that a lot of the mitigation strategies that the school board are definitely working and are allowing for us to provide a safe environment for our students to be able to enjoy in-person instruction as we had desired from the beginning of the year. We will continue to be doing our testing in the manner that we do it to make sure we're moving processes and continue to see our COVID cases stay under control throughout the school.
Mr. Pappas, before you keep going, I want to ask a question. So this data is with every other week because we're every other week now, right?
We just started to every other week, yes.
So when does this data, the second section, start? 10-14?
The data of the second section started right after the board meeting from the first session. It's from that time to now.
Okay. And that's every other week, right? Every grade is every other week?
Yes. For COVID testing part 2 over here, I have Delaware Public Health is partnering with Quidel. We already know that because we've been using the whole time. The dashboard is something that we talked about. We'd like to continue to be using moving forward. In terms of our mitigation strategies, we continue to use our masks consistently. We practice the classroom cleanliness. We have purified air filters like we've talked about. We are utilizing outdoor space. We do have a tent in the middle school that we're using as well to make sure that we can use that during some of our class time and other opportunities that we have on campus. And as you know, we're continuing to do the Quidel testing. In addition to that, we have created models of delivery of instruction, and as we've talked about in previous board meetings and throughout, we do have policies in place to allow for us to provide a live instruction to students who are quarantined. It is on a case-by-case basis, and did see our model and what it would look like if we had to quarantine larger numbers of students. Obviously, the hope is to not have to continue to quarantine large numbers of students and to be able to maintain our communication strategies the way that we have them. So that doesn't happen. However, there is specific information that will come out in the Thursday throwdowns for that, and it is encouraged to reach out to your specific administrator in your building to find out exactly how specific live instructional support happens within that building.
So that has already started?
Yes.
So when did it start?
That started as of, a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago.
So we've heard from several parents that have said that they've not been offered that. So how are parents finding out? Are we sending something home with the children when they leave with the nurse's office? How is that live instruction being offered to the families?
Live instruction is offered on a case-by-case basis based on the specific needs of that one and whether what the quarantine is for that particular student. I can't speak to a specific situation. Some people have false positives. Some people are back after a day. They're getting other tests. We're waiting for PCR results. So we have not had very many cases in the school where you have people that have been knocked out for large quarantine times. Those are very specific cases. However, in all of the school programs, there is a built-in time where teachers can spend times individually with those students. Should that be the determining factor within the educational unit of what needs to happen? That's a determination between parents, the counselor, and the administrator of that particular school on the educational plan for that student. It is a case-by-case basis.
So then I'm understanding, if my child comes in close contact with a student and has to quarantine, okay, who is telling me that there's a virtual option available for my child?
Virtual option meaning what?
You said a live instruction. Is that the virtual option, or you're saying what do you mean by live instruction? Then maybe I'm not getting that.
It means like one-on-one support. We have homebound, as you are well aware of, and
right.
We also have other programs that can go through our special education department as needed with very specific needs. But we do not offer a virtual option in the school.
Okay. So when you're saying live instruction, that's what I'm thinking you're meaning, like they can stream in and watch their classes. So a student who is out for five days because they need to quarantine or they have to wait because they've now become a close contact. Right now, the only instruction they have is what? If they're home for 5 days, just, I'm not sick. I have to quarantine because that's the policy. What do they get on a daily basis during those 5 days that they're missing classes?
So, it has to come back to the very specific student in that situation. If it's a student in the high school, that educational plan is an educational plan that's made between the student, the counselor, the administrator, and the family unit to determine what is the best pathway forward. It doesn't look the same for every student because the needs are not the same. But there is access to live instruction and tutoring, one-on-one tutoring for those particular students in all of our buildings.
So during their 5 days of quarantine or once they come back?
No, during their 5 days of quarantine, yes.
And a parent is supposed to reach out to a counselor who essentially should get back, let them know how their child can get instruction going forward.
Right, I'm sure the nurses are also being involved because if the testing came through the school, there may be one extra step because if you're waiting for PCR testing results to come back from the school, that may look different. So I that's very specific to the situation. I wouldn't be able to know exactly what happens.
I'm muting. I'm trying to mute people. Okay. So I would like for us. I don't. Of course, we can't do this here. But I would like to get a better understanding. I want to see because I know we had some issues. I was actually in the building yesterday and heard that there was a class that was going to have to quarantine because of a student. So I want to get a better understanding of what that's going to look like for these families and. Like, I feel like as a school, we have the responsibility to say, this is what we can offer, not wait for a parent to contact us, because these kids are missing a lot of instruction.
Yeah, we wouldn't wait for the parent to contact. We would reach out and tell you what the offer is. I as of right now, have not heard of any quarantine going on in high school.
I'm not talking about high school. Not high school. I just said I was in the building yesterday. So I just want to understand, in our lower schools, with our younger children, with all of our kids, what is that like for these children when they have these times when they're close contact? Like, I really want to understand how they're able to recover that time. Like, I understand the one-to-one.
They will receive specialized individual instruction, but it's not an hour-to-hour comparison. You can't be in a situation where you're saying, well, they missed 5 hours of instruction, so we have to offer 5 hours of instruction. That's not the way that it works. It doesn't work anywhere on the planet like that. It would be us giving specific instruction to those kids in areas where they need help in specific areas. The educational plan, it's almost like a 504, would be very specific to that particular student. If an entire grade is quarantined, then we switch to Zoom.
So I can give you, my son is in third, and he was quarantined as a close contact, I think for 5 days. And so we didn't ask for anything. The teacher sent home, I think, math packets, science videos, reading lessons. And then when he came back, I think she did some sort of assessment to sort of see where they were. And then he had some kind of one-on-one time with her. And I think, is it rhyme time? Is that
right?
And then in rhyme time, he got some extra stuff there. So it wasn't, to your point, it wasn't like an hour for each
so
day,
is but rhyme time something that they get for every subject? So if a child is not
it's available, but it's not necessary for every kid in every subject. It's based on the educational plan for that particular student. It's available, but you don't use it unless you need it.
So like in third, I think the rhyme time that is being focused in my son's classroom, I think, is more reading based. I think in first, this, and I may be wrong, it's not all classes, but in that class it's more math based, and they have smaller groups that sort of break out and do different things. That's aside from the quarantine stuff. That's just happening every day with all of them anyway.
Right. And like for the high school, because I work in the high school too, if the student is out more than 3 days, and again, this depends on the PCR results, it's not 100 different things that are going on. Situations are very individual. But if they're out more than 3 days, then the staff in the high school reaches out and they create a supporting online online structure for those particular students.
Okay.
All right, now moving forward, we also have COVID updates for part three, and this is in response to the vaccination and testing mandate. Per the DHSS Emergency Secretary's order, the school plans to implement the mandated vaccinations and testing protocols put forth by the state. The school will provide the procedures, forms, and FAQs prior to the November 1st implementation date. Odyssey plans to employ an attestation approach coupled with monthly audits to safeguard the health of our employees and their families, our students and visitors, and the community at large that may be reduced by vaccination and testing. This also ensures compliance with the state's orders. This is a mandate. It's not something that we are up to debate or that needs to go any further. It doesn't need to be addressed any further. It's just something that needs to be implemented. And we are implementing the policy that has been put forth by the state. If you click on the link, you can see some of those things as well. The forms have already been created and shared out, but if you want to see them, certainly you can send them anybody's way. Flagpole initiative and fundraising updates. I do want to make a quick comment on this because I did receive some feedback at some other meetings about fundraising efforts. Sometimes people lack in confidence in the fundraising efforts in the school because the funds are not going, there's no evidence of the funds being used in an appropriate manner and the manner to which they were intended. So I'd like to speak on behalf of the Flagpole Initiative and the BRIC fundraiser that we've done, because that is certainly not the case with any fundraiser that I've been a part of since I've been in the school. So thus far, we have raised $30,000. The money has been used to create the flagpole courtyard that you see in front of Building 21 right now, with the two flagpoles and the courtyard that's there. It's really nice, actually. There are new signs on all four of the buildings that are universal and are the same, and they're in Greek and English. There's new branding on our field. On the side over here of the building, you'll also see Odyssey written down. We have purchased new recess equipment for the lower school that will be installed in the coming weeks. We have also purchased a new scoreboard and bleachers for our field. To date, we've committed almost $55,000 despite only raising $30,000. Because the fundraiser's goal is to get to $80,000, so the school has even front-loaded some of the money. So all of the money has definitely been spent right the way that we said that we were going to, which was going to be facilities upgrades and visual branding of the school. We definitely encourage our parents and our families to continue to fundraise in this manner and BRIC fundraiser, because every dollar is going specifically right back into the students and into our facilities for better facilities for our students. From the culture focus perspective, parents have the opportunity to learn about our restorative practices and parents equity practices, SEL, education, mental health, and various topics. Our first parent event is coming in November, and it is regarding equitable grading. I post on our new community Facebook dashboard on October 14th, provides a quick preview for what that focus will be. And we've also set up some priorities and goals regarding that as well. Food services, we've talked about from the last time as well. We're feeding upwards of 1,400 kids per day. This is the largest our program has ever been. We're looking to expand our kitchen in order to meet the growing needs of our school. We're also looking at purchasing some new high efficiency ovens, increasing the staff that we have in there as well. And our development team is looking for community members who would like to donate to the school specifically for that. The PTO is still working on launching the student store for us. Right now they're doing the book fair, so that's live and in session. So we encourage you obviously to commit to that and buy some books and some other goodies that they have over there to help continue to support the school. Daily busing of our kids is obviously happening. I'm going to talk about transportation a little bit later. From our facilities lens, we have been working on our COVID cleaning, installation of the bleachers and the scoreboard, the formation of new offices for support staff in Building 21. We've formatted a bunch of new Chromebooks. We're launching them into all of them. Obviously, we want to have a one-to-one for all students. This isn't only from a technology and initiative, but it's also from the perspective of us being ready in case anything goes sideways with respect to COVID, we would be able to switch, obviously, to a virtual environment immediately and not skip a beat. From a marketing lens.
I'm sorry, Mr. Pappas, I want to ask a quick question. So at the last board meeting, they were in we were getting them worked on. So how close are we to getting them all distributed?
Well, a lot of them have already been distributed, but there's another batch that just came as well. So okay. Those are being formatted now too.
So
the only thing that may be different is that in the lower school, there may be some students that have Chromebooks and other ones that have tablets. They may not be all tablets, it may be some Chromebooks and some tablets. Just because of, that's more of a distribution issue than anything else, what's available.
Okay, so by when do we have a time frame for these next ones to be distributed?
I can find that out for you, but I know Dino works pretty diligently on this stuff, so and he churns out quite a few. I think the last batch was like 150 or 200. So they're formatting them, and the team's working as fast as they can. I would imagine by the next time they have them done.
So are these to replace old ones, or are these students that don't have?
Increasing their capacity.
So these are students that do not have currently?
Yes. I mean, we didn't obviously recover all of them, and there is natural wear and tear of some, so you are replacing some machines, but we're also increasing our capacity quite a bit.
And talking to Dino today, I know he accelerated the next order, and those are not, let's say he ordered 200, they will come in at when they are ready, so they may come in 25 at a time. They won't hold the all 200.
Right. I mean, a lot of this has to do with that distribution, the
supply
availability
chain.
Of the chips, yada, 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 that same stuff that we've been talking about. But as they come in, he's doing them pretty fast for us. From a marketing lens, we all know that the school was voted top public school in Northern Delaware by 2021's First State's Favorites. We have billboards coming in the next couple of weeks that we're putting on major highways. We have direct mail campaign, academic fair that's coming out, step up days. All of those things are already in the planning and logistics phase. So you'll obviously start to see some of these things as well. So I'm excited about that. It aligns really well with the open choice season that happens in November. Now with the lower school billing level updates, talk about some specific things. Lower school ecstatic to slowly be returning to a more normal school year. October is full of exciting learning activities. Our first off-campus field trip in almost 2 years, and our Red Ribbon drug-free school campaign at the end of October. We're also opening up our grounds to facilities to watch our character day parade. I think it's October 29th. There's also been communication sent out in our weekly communication and on our Facebook communication page as well. We look forward to all of that. Parent-teacher conferences have been happening already, so that's already occurring. Intermediate school, our first field trips are basically launching as well. We had half of the fifth graders went to the Calmer and Nigel, and they were filmed on ABC, which I did get a chance to take a peek at. Third grade went to the Wilmington Western Railroad. Fourth grade is looking forward to heading to the Ashland. All grades got to see the fire safety presentation organized by Ms. Bruno as well. Intermediate school will be doing the Red Ribbon Week as well. We're rounding out our October with the storybook character parade as well. Come celebrate with us in the field from 9:45 to 10:15. More information coming on that. Middle school, we have an 8th grade field trip to Ramsey Farm on the 28th. We have the Ohi Day celebrations on the 29th. 8th graders participating in Homecoming Week and the bonfire as well. Middle school movie Under the Stars night on the 10th. We also have middle school open house mingle on the 19th. And 8th grade Odyssey Charter High School field trip and visit on the 19th. Lots of events going on. From the high school lens, a lot of things going on for them as well. We have homecoming soccer game. On our fields at 3:30, and the Odyssey Bala, which is a flag football event directly afterwards on the 26th. The 28th, we have our homecoming pep rally for high school students and the homecoming volleyball game. On the 29th, we have homecoming dance itself, which is at Edge 18 in Middletown. And on the 30th, we have our homecoming bonfire in the soft park with the ball diamond from 5:30 to 7:30 during the trunk or treat, which is happening for our lower schools. 8th graders are welcome to attend this event as well. Meanwhile, while this is going on, because nothing's going on, we also have college applications going on. And we are getting close to the end of November, which is when we have to start submitting some of these applications. So during this week, there's a lot of support being offered to the students to help them complete their applications and move that forward. We're also enrolling, starting to enroll people for some of those trips that will be coming up in the next few years. For school choice, we launched our school choice campaign for this year with our first open house on Saturday, October 9th. We had families in attendance for both OCS and outside middle schools, and they gave us a lot of good feedback. The eighth grade students are going to visit the high school during our homecoming week as well. They will come by homeroom and participate in an activity along with meeting staff and students. We're also in the process of planning step up days for our current eighth grade students to experience life at OCBHS. We'll be welcoming families and students at our academic fairs on Saturday, November 20th from 9 to 3 as well. That is the first of such events, and the idea of the academic fair is to provide an opportunity for families to be able to see what does the education look like all the way. If you were a lifer at Odyssey, what would that look like? So you're not only going to see some of the output and some of the projects and some of the deliverables from the small grades, but you're going to see it from all the grades. So you can actually peek in and see the education across the board. All of the buildings will be utilized for that. There'll be specific rooms and parts of the rooms that will be used to do that, which is going to be pretty awesome. They're going to have opportunities to kind of pop in and see different parts of the program in the different buildings. So we're really excited about adding that to our program. It's the first of its kind here at Odyssey, but I think it's going to be a wonderful representation of what, you know, the education that we offer over here is K through 12 level. So we look forward to seeing that. What else? We have our high school student council elections are in full swing. We'll be recognizing our new officers at the next meeting. Students are running for their class councils and voting occurs this month. The results announced during homecoming week. We also want to recognize the students who did complete the Elio Matima exams at the high school this year. The results are still pending, but we're very proud of the students who participated in the exams, and certainly grateful to Kiakula for coordinating along with our Greek staff for proctoring these exams. The next thing I kind of wanted to cover over here, a little bit of a curriculum update. We did all of the beginning of the year testing and the baseline testing that was necessary. Our K-3s did their DIBELS tests, which is basically a procedures and measures used for assessing the acquisition of specific literacy skills. Grade 1 completed the STAR Math. Grades 2 through 8 did the STAR Math and ELA. The high school also completed their SAT/PSATs on the 13th of October. So now we're waiting for all those results to come back so we can, you know, kind of analyze them and figure out what goals we have to set in order to get our kids to where they need to be. Another very important progress for us. Another instructional coach has been added. So each of our four schools now has a curriculum assessment and instruction coordinator for the first time in the school's history, which allows us to begin to provide the highest quality support to our teachers and support the best possible learning environment for our kids. So we've increased the capacity by quite a bit in our instructional coaching. We plan to continue to do that as we move forward. Moving on, updates on enrollment. Last month, we were talking about hitting our enrollment target. This month, we are very happy to announce that we did hit our enrollment target. We exceeded it, going from 1926 to 1988 students. I'd like to definitely thank the enrollment team, particularly Tracy Principe, who put tremendous efforts forth for us to be able to hit our enrollment target, which was set in 1986, which is what we set the budget from. So I'd also like to thank the teachers and the operations team, everybody that's behind the scenes for helping us to get to that. There was a lot of flexibility that was needed and patience as that thing fluctuated all the way until September 30th. So it was a unique challenge because COVID added an extra layer of challenge because families were making last-minute decisions about the education of their kids at a much higher rate than usual. So there's a lot of fluctuation going on, but I give a lot of credit to the team for being able to take in all that fluctuation and still be able to properly enroll in schools. Now, from a calendar updates, so we have a couple of things that are going on in calendar updates that are really, really important. Currently. Currently, Friday, November 12th, which is the date after Veterans Day, it's a regular school day. Due to the enormous struggles with staffing, particularly substitute teachers, cafeteria workers, bus drivers, we're very concerned we'll be unable to operate in a safe and meaningful way. As such, in order to allow proper planning time for families, Odyssey is proposing for the school to be closed on Friday, November 12th. This is not something that is out of the ordinary. We have three large districts that are doing the same thing. And we have gotten indications from our subservices and many of our backup bus services that they're very, very concerned about having the right staffing for that particular day. So as such, we are definitely recommending that November 12th be basically a day off. We do have the flexibility to do this. We have our snow days built in. We have five of them built in. So there will be no disruption to the total amount of school days as a result of this.
Is it
similarly,
just real quick, is it that we think there will be a large number of regular staff asking to take off that day, and so we'd have to go to subs in the way we normally wouldn't have to? Okay.
Yes, and that's already been indicated here.
Correct.
We're already seeing that. Similarly, and that's why I want to get in front of it, and in recognition of the many challenges associated with opening this school and all the schools after 500 plus days, we're opting for an asynchronous day on November 1st. With our homecoming on Friday, trunk or treat and the high school bonfire on Saturday, Halloween and harvest celebrations on Sunday, and our first marking period closing on Tuesday, November 2nd, the school is proposing an asynchronous day for students to catch up on missing assignments before their marking period, a grading day for our teachers, a day for school and operations and support to catch up. Now, for that particular day, the school wants to make sure that we're supporting families the best that we can. So Odyssey is offering free all-day childcare from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. with various structured activities being offered throughout the day. Our hope is that our staff and families can use the added flexibility as a time to recharge, refresh, and catch up. Odyssey Admin is also proposing the same asynchronous day on March 18, 2022, when the moons kind of line up with the same exact situation. At the end of the third marking period, where again we can do a catch-up and recharge day that will be needed. These actually are very research-based days. When you look at the cycle, the teaching cycles, the two, we usually call October Rocktober, because it's like rock bottom. You hit the first rock bottom in your teaching cycle in October. You hit the second one in March. The reason for that is because you go from, you know, whenever you were having little breaks to a lot of consecutive days in a row. And the same thing happens in January after MLK until you get to March. It's a lot of consecutive days in a row. So we see a lot of burnout, a lot of teachers, you know, feeling very frustrated. Overall staff and support staff feeling frustrated. So strategically as a school, it makes a heck of a lot of sense for us to provide these kind of catch-up days. Again, this is not something that is unique to Odyssey. Many schools, including Brandywine, have several asynchronous days built into their schedule, 7-8 of them, specifically for these reasons. They usually align them at particular times throughout the year. We are very sensitive to the needs of our teachers, and we are listening to what they are telling us. And it's been made very clear to me that our teachers need this support as well, and they need this catch-up time as well. But we don't want to inconvenience our families, so we do want to offer all day child care for them in a structured manner that will allow for them to be able to, you know, continue with their activities for the days as well.
So I would just propose, as we're getting our calendar together for next year, that we really focus on ensuring we add these days, those types of days in, like a grading day for teachers. That's a standard PD day, a grading day for going forward. So when we do this on the calendar, so we're not being reactive, we're being proactive when we schedule for our calendar next year. So if we could just make sure that that's there.
Excuse me, can I ask a question about the ASIN days or the one with the childcare?
Ma'am, you'll be able to ask questions.
Okay.
during the session. Thank you. So just so we're clear on what we need to vote on today, it would be November 12th, having the day off, November 1st being an asynchronous day, and November 13th, an asynchronous day. Am I correct? I mean, March 18th. Are those the days?
Those are the days. Okay. And although asynchronous days don't necessarily need a board approval because they're still calendared school days.
And the child cares for the asynchronous days, but not for the day when we'll close completely.
No, the day that we're closed completely, we're closed completely.
Got it.
All right, so I already talked a little bit about visual branding.
I think Elias has a question.
Yeah, quick question on the asynchronous days, child care. If it's asynchronous, are we offering child care the entire day? Is that what you're?
7 to 6.
7 to 6.
7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
And it's free. No cost to the family.
Thank you.
So we've talked about the major campaign that we have this year for improving the visual footprint of the school. And we've already talked about some of the efforts that we're doing to do that, so, and you've seen them in place, so I don't need to spend too much time on that. I want to move to financials a little bit. Do you want to do it in yours?
Or yeah, I can.
So I'm going to let Jeff do the financials on his own. I'm going to move over to transportation. We've hired 2 full-time drivers since our last meeting. They run in bus 11 and bus 4. The new driver of bus 4 has allowed us to take over the first student bus 6 full-time, which has been on time every day since we hired her. And we are planning on taking over first student 11 as soon as we have a cleared bus driver for that route. Taking over first student bus 11 will complete all the problematic routes, making all the OCS students on time in both the morning and the afternoon. We'd like to take a moment to shout out Natalie Scott, who has 2 boys here at OCS and persuaded her mom to come out of bus driver retirement and come drive for OCS. She is the driver of bus 4. Natalie has also put us in touch with one of her connections at Easter Seals, who has other CDL drivers, and we're working on getting them on board as we speak. Referrals is obviously a clear pathway for us to be able to get more of these CDL drivers at OCS, and we're really excited to continue to promote that referral process. If you do have a neighbor or family member who may consider this job, please let them contact OCS's transportation manager, Evan Winokur, by phone or email. I'd also like to add that, you know, as we look into the future for buses right now, we are also looking at adding more buses to the fleet. We're looking at adding 2 more buses this year as well. And with the goal to finally be for us to have all of those routes in-house from now on, so that we don't have to rely on outside networks for any of our busing situations, and we don't have these challenges moving forward. With student services, we have a new EL coordinator, which over the next few months we're going to be, well, I'm sorry, I kind of got a little bit mixed up here, but the new EL coordinator that's come to us with a lot of experience and working in Delaware for many, many years, and is definitely helping us out with the instructional coaching piece. Her expertise and background is going to be a huge asset to the team, so welcome Laura Favaz to our team. We are continuing to add capacity on a daily basis on so many levels, and we're just really, really excited about being able to do that. Our culture coordinator position is going to be hired next week as well. We're in the process of getting the team for that. Special education, you know, we prom 2 of our state audit was 100%. All corrections were made, so congratulations to our special education for getting that taken care of. And MTSS problem solving team is being formed right now, which is pretty cool. This is gonna be an opportunity for us to kind of work together to solve specific student-related issues within the buildings with a specific just brainstorm of a team, which we're calling a problem-solving team. Thank you to Dr. DeMeo for putting this team together. They meet, that will help with, you know, a lot of our specific needs for our students. They meet with all the teams for each school and are beginning to implement in all the schools to support students in Tier 2 and Tier 3 interventions. Working with the other charters and the DOE to support best practices in these new areas of support, which this problem-solving team is part of that process. So we're pretty excited about that. Like I said, financials I'm going to leave to the side. I'm going to let Jeff speak on that regard. But that's pretty much it. As I said, it's a pretty heavy report this week, or this month.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Pappas on the head of school report?
Elias, we did things a little backwards. We should have allowed for parents' comments.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do that right after.
Well, maybe we can do that now so he can answer.
Yeah, as soon as we're done with this section, we'll open up any public comments. Any other questions for Mr. Pappas from the board members on the head of school report?
No.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. So before we jump into the finances, I just want to check with Val if anybody signed up for any public comments.
Thanks, Elias. Nobody has emailed me asking to speak at tonight's meeting. And to the extent I've received other comments or questions, I forward those to the board and to Elias to address.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. And if you did have any comments or questions, please feel free to email those to Val, and she'll distribute them out to the right folks to get you an answer. Well, thanks, everyone. Okay, we can move on to Jeff's finance report.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the Odyssey Board of Directors and community at large. I am going to share some. I'm going to roll through our normal monthly finance report, which we have the web report at the end for a vote, and add some commentary as we go through. So as you know, we're through September 30th of 2021, which represents 3 months or 25% of the fiscal year. As we talked about in previous meetings, preliminary budget revenues of $37.8 million. And revenues collected to date are $24.4 million. We have received local funding preloads from 5 districts during September. The preloads represent 35% of the payables owed from the district to each charter school. The remaining districts are expected to roll in over the next month, followed by the final distribution after the completion of the unaccount process. Revenues received during September, as you can see, the local amount is a little bit larger than previous, and we received the preloads of our federal consolidated grant and the final piece of our ARP ESSER 3 grant, as far as normal monthly activity. From an expenditure perspective, the preliminary budget expenditures are $30.4 million, which includes contingencies, and expenses to date are a little over $9 million, with encumbrances of $480,000, representing 31% of the budget. As we talked about previously, a lot of our school expenses are front-loaded in the beginning portion of the year, which is why we've spent 31% of the budget as we're 25% of the year. The entirety of our debt service on schools' municipal bonds are owed at the beginning of July. We have 3 pay periods during the month of July, and much of the preparation for the school year as far as supplies and curriculum takes place during the first quarter of the school year. Some other notes for this month. The annual financial statement and single audit were submitted to the state by the due date of October 1st. Odyssey had its second straight year without any findings and improved in almost every bond covenant and state metric. For the 2021 annual report, as far as the financial framework goes, from information provided from the state, the school meets expectations in every category for the first time in at least 5 years, which is a good sign of where we are from a fiscal health standpoint. As Elias mentioned, the September 30th unit count for OCS finalized at 1,988, two more than preliminarily budgeted. However, in aggregate, projected local funding decreased on a per pupil basis by approximately $104 per student, equating to a likely revenue projection decrease overall of around $200,000 in local revenue, as the per pupil budget was expected to be flat in 2021, but actually went up decreasing. In a year-over-year analysis, the same student category breakdown, because we are funded differently based on the different category of students that we have at school, we would have seen a $360,000 decrease from the funding we received from Christina School District, which is one of the major funding sources from students that we have at the school, which was by far our largest impacting district. Obviously, the local funding, it has an impact for us, but there's probably other charters that may be seeing that local funding more significantly based on their student demographic from geographical locations. Transportation income and expenses will be adjusted in future projections as the routes we are able to serve Red Clay and the routes that our contractor is able to serve us are less than the preliminary budgeted amount. Billings on both sides are both currently in progress, and we'll have a better idea of where we land during the next month. To date, $423,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminary budgeted amount of $1.96 million. As funding has recently become available, expense recodes will take place over the next few months. One item to note for the local revenue piece is Odyssey Charter, as well as actually all charters, at least in Newcastle County, are looking at the process of starting a tuition billing piece to potentially charge districts back for certain intense and complex students that we may not have been fairly compensated for last year, possibly the past decade. So that is currently still in progress, and as I kind of learn more about that process and more of what that fiscal impact may be, I'll be able to report more on that.
Jeff, is that something that we should have, like, there's existing structures through which we should have been compensated previously, we just weren't, so now we're sort of truing up?
Yes. Now, I don't want to get too much of the nitty-gritty, but basically the concept was the state code and the calculations weren't being followed by the districts.
Okay.
And some of them, maybe one large district where our local funding decreased from, changed their calculation this specific year.
Okay.
But other districts may have been doing this for years.
Got it.
We
can talk March. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. And that ends my report. If anyone has any questions, you can either answer them here or think of them later, I'd be happy to answer them.
No questions for Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Do you have anything else you need to brief?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, thanks. We have a motion to post this monthly budgetary numbers.
I'll move to post the monthly numbers.
We have a second.
I'll second. Adam
Rand. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks,
sir. Next up is the Greek program report. Anyone here to give that?
Yeah, just give me a second. Marina sent me something. Just give me 1 second to go to that screen. Marina couldn't be with us tonight, but she sent me a brief report. So she says on the 4th and 5th of October, the Elinomathia exams took place at our school. For the first time ever, OCS students sat for the higher levels of Elinomathia exams, and this reflects their hard work and persistence. We would like to give a big shout out to our students, to the Greek teachers who supported them, and especially to Kyriakoula Miha, who once again organized and coordinated the exams. Also, this year, our middle school Greek language teachers and students are going to collaborate with colleagues and students from the Pierce College and the American College in Greece. The aim of this collaboration is to design engaging projects of cultural interest. We would like to remind our families that 3 years ago, OCS families hosted 20 students from Pierce College. We are looking forward to continuing this collaboration through similar projects and student exchanges.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions? Do we have any, Abba, do you know if we have any specific exchanges with students this year through the Greek program that we've had in the past, or is that something that—
I'm not aware of any.
Thank you. Next up is Citizens Budget Oversight Committee report. Is Evan here? Or someone here to provide that?
I can speak on that. We did meet yesterday. Unfortunately, it was just the CBOC chair and I that were able to make the meeting. So this is kind of a PSA of sorts that we're hoping to get some more maybe parent participation in the committee. It's something that Aaron and I will talk about a little more in our, as we tag team business manager and treasurer items, then we'll look to sort of beef that up a bit. I know it was a little difficult this week with parent teacher conferences, so, but we did meet. I did go over sort of the monthly report with them, where we landed with the preliminary budget and all the credit card statements for the school. And there was obviously no comment at that time, but we did meet, and we're looking for increased participation going forward.
Any major actions or items coming out of that, or anything that you need to be made aware of?
No.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Next up is committee reports. Do we have any updates from any of the committees? Start with DE&I.
Yes, we, go ahead. Do you want to do the DE&I first?
Finance, go ahead.
Fundraising. So with fundraising, we met earlier this week, and we kind of retouched base again after a long time, and we're going to have the next, we have to prioritize what the fundraising efforts will be for the school. And they decided on the next fundraising meeting will be on November 15th at 4:15. So if anybody else is interested in fundraising, you can come for that meeting. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, and that is posted on the board meeting link on the website as well, so folks can find the meeting information there.
It has not been posted yet, but it will be.
Thank you, Marianne. Anything from the DE&I committee?
Yes, so we do have current participants in the EPP program. We have some there, as well as we're going to start, our first meeting will be next month. We'll be posting that out to meet with the greater community and asking for more help and assistance to align with the school administration would like to do as far as DE&I is concerned. So next month we'll hit the ground running.
Do we have any updates on the EPP participants? DE&I work?
No, we don't have any right now. We'll have a meeting with them before we have our first DE&I meeting.
Thank you, Helen. Anything on emerging committee, Anna Maria? Any other committee meetings?
Yeah, this is Aaron. For finance, we're going to put, we're going to do our first sort of kickoff meeting early next month. The date is not set yet, but we will communicate that out. I think right now, Marianne and I are the only ones actually on the committee. That could be wrong, and it would be go as previously. Elias, you tend to come to the meetings, but is there anyone else on the board who would like to be on the finance committee as an official member, or don't shudder, you don't have to. But we just wanted to extend the invite in case there are others who wanted to participate and just haven't yet.
Yeah, and I think as de facto members, we probably have Jeff on the finance committee as well, too.
And
if any parents or others want to, staff members want to volunteer to support the finance committee, they're all welcome to. And you have to send Aaron, Marianne, and we can nominate you to be on the committee.
I think Jeff is on. I think we nominated him before. Yeah, I just specifically on the board side if there's anyone else, but parents
Sarah,
for sure.
Just
informed of what's going on.
Yeah.
So if you
just
let me know.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Totally. I could be on the committee if
we need members to be on there. It's up to you. We don't need, it's just if folks want to, okay. You can.
Yep.
And these committee meetings, they are public. Anybody can attend them. We're probably going to look to start standardizing some of these schedules so folks will know that monthly or quarterly or whenever these things happen or weekly, folks can know that they're happening on a routine basis and they'll be able to kind of join in as those meetings start to take place. Other committee updates?
What was that?
I was asking for any other committee updates. The only other committee I think right now is meeting is the non-APA nominating committee, so that is in action as well, too, looking to replace a vacant parent seat. We had a number of applicants who are going through the interview and assessment process now. There should be a selection, I think, or someone in place before the next board meeting in November, sooner than that, if possible. I don't think there's anything else. Any questions for any of the committee members or committees? PTO report is up next. Do we have any updates from the PTO?
Hi, Elias. Thank you. Okay, so the PTO would like to first thank all the parents, their volunteers, the teachers, the staff members, and the students for a very successful book fair. We are wrapping up our virtual part of the book fair tomorrow. We are looking to profit about $4,500 from the book fair. We sell lollipops every year at the book fair. We sell them for 25 cents to the students, and all the proceeds from that this year were used to purchase books for kids that were unable to purchase books for themselves, either due to financial or other reasons. So we did use the money to purchase those books. We purchased approximately, I want to say, 45 to 48 books for kids. The rest of the funds from that did go back to purchasing books for the classrooms. So we spent approximately $105 on the classrooms, and the rest of the proceeds went to the kids to get to purchase books, because after all, the book fair is for the kids and to buy books. So that was very successful. I will have the total raised for that in the next 2 weeks, because we're waiting for them to close out our e-wallets, our credit cards, and of course the online sales. Because the online sales, they calculate differently than the actual book sales. So I want to thank everybody for that. It was very successful. The PTO purchased 176 meals for the teachers this past Wednesday during conferences, just to show our appreciation for the teachers and how much we value them. And I would like to thank Adrian Rodriguez for reminding us of the conferences so that we could do that for our teachers. Joe Corby's flyers should be coming out this week. Just be patient. We are trying to get those to the different buildings. And that will be delivered in time for the holiday. I believe it's going to be delivered the second week in December. So be on the lookout for those. They'll be coming out. We did a dress down day to collect candy and money for the trunk or treat that's taking place on October 30th. We were able to purchase about 90 additional bags of candy with the money raised. We are looking to do another dress down day on October 29th for building 21. That is going to be the 6th through 8th grade, and that's going to be for bags of candy. We are not going to do a money donation at that time. I'd like to thank the leadership team for purchasing candy for our trunk or treat as well, along with my board, whose members personally purchased candy themselves for the trunk or treat. I just kind of want to elaborate why we collect candy, because I guess some people really don't understand what we do that for. So the trunk or treat is basically parents come, they line up their cars, and they give out candy to the kids. Some of the people dress up, some of the people dress up their cars. Some people just stand there and hand out candy. And a lot of times the trunkers run out of candy because we have enormous attendance for this. We have a lot of kids to show up. Right now we're expecting about 600 plus kids throughout the evening. So the candy that we collect, we actually give to the cars in the parking lot to refill their trunks with candy so they don't run out. Because not everybody shows up at 6 o'clock or at 6:30 or 7. Some kids come late. We want to make sure that every child is able to do the trunk or treat and collect candy. So that is the importance of collecting the candy through the school. And that is what we do with it. At the trunk or treat, we will have a DJ, as always, for our little dance party at the end. And we will be selling pizza, chips, and a drink for the families who don't get time to feed their kids between sports and coming over to the trunk or treat. In November, we will be at the academic fair that people have been seeing online. The PTO will be selling spiritware and giving away raffle baskets. In the raffle baskets will be books, there'll be spiritware and some other items, and we will have one for each building. 1 to 2 baskets for each building, I'm sorry. We are also looking for the turkey truck to come in November, and that is gonna be grades K through 5th, and the details for that will come out shortly. We're still coordinating dates, and basically schedules is what we're looking for. We have Designer Bad Bingo on December 4th, which will take place at the Greek Orthodox Church. I believe we're going to start that from 5 to 9 p.m. There will be 16 different designer bags that you can win. And that information will be coming out in the next 2 weeks. We also have the holiday shop coming up for K through 5th grade. And that is currently scheduled for December 6th through 11th. And that is not a confirmed date. That is the date that was decided on. But again, we need to be flexible in scheduling based on COVID, based on schedules, based on testing. So I ask everyone to be flexible if that date changes. The PTO will be doing a dress down day in December. The dress down day in December, I don't believe is on the calendar, but we will be collecting small toys at that dress down day. If you cannot send in a small toy, we can send in $2 and the PTO will go shopping for a small toy. The small toys are being collected for a couple of different organizations. We are going to be doing different orphanages. We're going to be doing Salvation Army and different things around the local area to help families in need. So that is the point behind collecting the small toys. And that is all I have right now, Elias. Thank you.
And on behalf of the teachers, I want to thank you too. Those conference days are long days and you have spoiled us. We're looking forward to the goodies you deliver. And thank you for all your hard work. We really appreciate it.
Of course, Abba. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kaya. Yes, appreciate all the work the PTO has put into supporting the school. Great job by everybody on the PTO.
Thank you.
Next up is any new business. Do we have any new business we need to discuss?
Are we going to vote for those days or not?
For the days that are off, I think the days that we're closing the school probably should vote.
Yeah.
Any clarification on the dates? I think we have November 12th. It's also November 1st and 2nd. Is that correct?
I think we just vote on the 12th, right? Because the other ones are just moving to asynchronous. The 12th is the only change to the calendar.
We should just vote on all the days.
I think.
The calendar is changing. We should vote on the calendar.
So I move we vote for asynchronous day on the 12th of November.
12th
and
is,
this day
no, 12th is off.
Asynchronous day
was
snow day.
Asynchronous day is still counting as school, right?
Yeah.
It's off on the 12th. Asynchronous school still in session, but in a different setting on November 1st and March 18th.
I thought the 1st and the 8th and the 18th were off days.
Asynchronous
days.
March
18th are asynchronous days.
Like a work from home day.
November 12th is
off.
Off.
Huh.
then yeah, I move we do that.
I second that.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the motion carries. Do we have any other new business that we need to attend to? I know we had discussed and brought up, and it's been a while, but now that we're back in school and making a lot of trips all out of state, travel needs to be approved by the board. And so if there's any out-of-state travel, just reminding head of school and the deans that make sure to submit those lists prior to the board meeting and before the travel takes place so that it can be approved if anyone is going out of state on school business, field trips included. So I just want to confirm that I know there was a lot of field trips coming up in the near future. Just want to make sure none of those are out of state at this time.
Sounds like that's a no. I don't know. Her question, he's validating there's no out-of-state travel plan between this board meeting and the next.
Okay. Oh, good. If something does come up, please let us know.
We have to know. We have to know going forward. It's really important.
I'm not aware of anything out-of-state.
Okay.
I'm sorry, geographically, I don't know where the lines are. So if that, whatever place is in New Jersey, you're going to have to tell me. I don't know.
Let me take this. I was in the meeting of the DOE in 2019. I understand that maybe it's not normal for every school, but I want to be really clear. Any travel that's outside of the state of Delaware, whether it's 5 minutes into Pennsylvania or New Jersey, I know it's hard to track. We have got to track this. They were super clear with us that didn't matter if it was $10. It didn't matter if Odyssey wasn't paying for it directly. We have to know ahead of time.
The trips that were listed were the ones that I announced.
So. Okay, I'm just making sure there's nothing else.
In the future for these is a list of the field trips so that we can make that determination if you and the deans can't figure out what's out of state and what's not. So every field trip should just be presented to us so that we know that a trip is coming and where it is too. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but in order to ensure we're in compliance, I feel like that's what we need to be doing.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Any other new business? Are there anything for the good of the school? Okay. Appreciate everyone's time. That concludes our public session. We do need to go into executive session to discuss some potential real estate issues and qualifications for a job. So we'll jump into an executive session for a few minutes and then we should be able to be done by that.
Elias, somebody's raising their hand to speak.
Yeah, because that's the parent that wanted to speak the first time.
Yeah, am I able to ask my question now?
I'll allow it, but the way, just to be clear to everybody, the way the board meetings are typically structured, it's not like a town hall where we do a question and answer session. There's an opportunity
sure.
to provide public comments for 3 minutes so you can provide comments. If there's stuff that you need specifically addressed, we definitely want to get that either to the board members and to the administration to make sure we can properly answer those questions back to you. But I'll let you pose any comments or questions now before we head into executive session quickly.
I just wanted to know if buses would be running on the days that will be asynchronous.
To bring kids to childcare is what you're asking, I guess.
No. Yes.
You said no, right? That's
no.
Okay, thank you.
And there's enough for that one.
Do we need a motion to, adjourn?
No, motion to go to executive session. I move we go to executive session.
A second.
Are you going to breakout rooms, Ken, or Eliza,
no.
Are you going to breakout rooms?
All right, we're back from executive session. It's 8 p.m. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. Good night, everyone, and thank you all.